It's a foggy night on old Cape Cod. A perfect night for a mystery. Tonight, Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater presents an original mystery thriller entitled The Case of the Automatic Murders. In tonight's story, we enter the realm of the supernatural. That leads us inexorably towards violent death.
Sybil, what are you doing? What's that in your hand? Oh!
So now, sit back, relax, and listen as Captain Waverly Underhill confronts one of the strangest mysteries of his career in the case of the automatic murders.
Dr. Schofield, I take it you have come to give me another report about my granddaughter.
I assume there has been another entry in her diary. Nothing too upsetting this time, I hope.
Mrs. Langhorne, Theodora, before I say anything, I must tell you this problem has become too big for me to handle.
Nonsense. You have been a doctor longer than I have been an old lady.
Well, I'm not a psychiatrist.
I keep telling you, my granddaughter does not need a psychiatrist. What Sybil needs is someone with common sense. Now, don't tell me you can't handle it.
Theodora, I am trying to tell you something has come up. It is no longer simply a medical problem.
What is it, then?
Well, I want your permission to call in a friend of mine. His name is Captain Waverly Underhill, and I think he may be able to help us.
When you say captain, are you speaking nautically?
Captain Underhill is a retired police captain.
I don't want the police.
No, I said he was retired.
I don't care. I don't want him.
Theodora, will you listen? I'm trying to tell you this is more than a medical problem. Your granddaughter has predicted a murder.
A murder? You mean someone is going to be killed?
Not someone. You, Mrs. Langhorne. You are going to be murdered. Breathe in. And out. Once more now. In. And out. All right, Waverly, you can put your shirt back on. But don't go yet. There's something I want to show you.
What is it?
Well, just a minute. You'll see.
Get dressed, he says. But don't go yet. He wants to show me something. But he's not going to tell me what it is. Oh, these doctors are all alike. They love to keep you in suspense.
Take a look at this. Do you recognize what it is?
Well, it looks something like a pocket watch. But if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably a pacemaker.
That's right. Now, I'm not saying you need one, but I think it's time you went up to Boston and let them run some tests.
I knew it. I knew it. I never should have let you talk me into this physical. Look, Alex, I feel fine. There's nothing the matter with my heart.
I'm not saying there is. It's simply that, for your own good, I think you should go up there and...
What is this?
This is a miniature power cell. It sends the electrical impulses to your heart. Don't worry, it's very dependable.
A battery, hmm? If it's so dependable, why do they call it a diehard? Couldn't they come up with a more appropriate name than that?
Let me see that. It says nothing of the kind. Honestly, Waverly, sometimes I think you have a completely morbid sense of humor. Now, finish dressing, and when you're done, I want to take you out to visit a patient of mine. It's a medical case. It seems to be on the brink of becoming a police matter.
Aha. I should have known you'd have an ulterior motive for suggesting this physical.
Nonsense. You were long overdue. However, since you are here, and since you said yourself you were free for the afternoon...
You thought there would be no harm in asking for a little free advice.
Well, never mind. I'll wait for you in my office.
I should have told him I don't make house calls.
Hey, Doc, this is kind of unexpected, isn't it? I mean, I didn't even know you was coming. Hey, who's your pal?
Nick, this is Captain Waverly Underhill.
Oh, yeah? Pleased to meet you.
Nick, would you mind telling Mrs. Langhorne that Captain Underhill and I are here? She's expecting us.
Oh, yeah, sure. Why don't you wait down here? I'll go up and tell her. She'll be right down.
Who was that?
Believe it or not, the butler.
I guess they weren't kidding when they said good help was hard to find.
Well, Nick is also Mrs. Langhorne's chauffeur, which may explain why he was hired.
Must be a hell of a driver. Well, Schofield, I did say I didn't make house calls, but I'll admit I've always been curious about what sort of place was back here.
That's the largest private estate in Osterville. Quite a house, wouldn't you say?
More like a grand hotel. Do Mrs. Langhorne and her granddaughter live here alone?
Oh, plus the hired help. Besides Nick, there's a housekeeper named Greta, a Jamaican cook named Tishua, a full-time live-in nurse named Carol, several others who come in only during the day. Of course, there are men hired to take care of the grounds. Out back is a pond large enough to float the QE2. Altogether, at least a dozen employees. Must cost a fortune to keep the place up.
It certainly does, Doctor. But since I was lucky enough to inherit one when my husband died, I don't find it too much trouble.
Hello, Theodora. Allow me to introduce Captain Waverly Underhill. Captain Underhill, Mrs. Theodora Langhorne.
How do you do? I want you to know it wasn't my idea to have you come.
I see we have something in common already.
I'm going to have some tea. Would either of you like some?
Yes, sir, with a wedge of lemon, please, Waverly.
No tea, but I will have a soft drink. A Coke, if you have it.
Theodora, I've already told Captain Underhill something about this case, but I think it would be best if we started from the beginning.
You rang, Mom?
Greta. Please tell Tishua we shall have two teas with lemon. And see if there's a Coca-Cola for Mr. Underhill.
Yes, Mum.
You were saying, Doctor?
Well, as I started to say...
Never mind. I'll tell him myself. This whole thing started when I came across several entries in my granddaughter's diary, which I found very disturbing. You've seen the diary, I presume?
He hasn't seen it yet, Theodora. I have it with me, but I wanted to wait until...
Never mind. He doesn't have to see it. I can simply tell you it contains some very shocking passages. Statements full of hatred and resentment. Mostly directed towards me.
What did you do when you read it?
Well, naturally, I confronted Sybil with what she had written.
Mm-hmm. And what was her reaction?
At first, she tried to deny it. Then, when I showed her it was all in her own handwriting, she became angry. Almost hysterically angry.
Do you know why?
Of course I know why. Because I exposed her.
Mrs. Langhorne, how did you happen to read her diary in the first place?
If you must know, I came across it by accident. I had gone up to her room, and I noticed it lying open on her desk. I only looked because, for some time, I have been concerned about her mental state. I thought it might help me gain some insight into
her... Don't you think there's a chance she was upset because she caught you snooping in her diary?
Dr. Schofield, I certainly did not invite him here to make insulting accusations.
Waverly, please. Theodora, try to understand. Captain Underhill is only trying to help. Waverly, the important thing is that... Once Mrs. Langhorne realized her granddaughter sincerely believed she was telling the truth, she became concerned, and that's when I was called in. Of course, I recommended a psychiatrist, but she insisted. And so for the past few weeks, I've been doing my best to treat Sybil for what I assumed was a deep-seated psychosis. At least, that's what I thought until quite recently.
There's your tea, Miss Langhorne! Thank you, Tishua. Just put it down. We didn't have no corks. So I brung them on a Pepsi. That's fine. You may go. Go on, Doctor.
I was about to say, the case took on an entirely new complexion when I read the last entry in Sybil's diary. I should explain that I've been seeing Sybil every day, and every day she lets me see her diary without having looked at it herself. The passages which appear overnight frighten her. She no longer wishes to know what she's written.
What does the last entry say?
Well, here, let me read it to you. It's not at all like the others. It's as if someone else were talking, trying to communicate through Sybil.
Teddy, Do you hear me, Teddy? Remember University Avenue, the brownstone number 11, how we feared for our immortal souls. Dear now, I am here trying to reach you, to warn you of the danger that surrounds. Beware, the soul you sent away has come back, seeking revenge. Beware, the one who wears the string of pearls is plotting your death.
That's all there is?
That's all that's written.
Who is Teddy?
Teddy is me. It was the nickname my sister gave me when we were young.
Where is your sister now?
She's dead. Nina died more than 30 years ago. However, if you wish to know what she looked like, that is her portrait on the wall.
Good heavens, you mean that's your sister? I thought, my God, she's a carbon copy of Sybil.
I think you mean the other way around. Anyway, what did you expect? They are related, you know.
Mrs. Langhorne, what happened at number 11 University Avenue?
That was nothing. It was just something that happened a long time ago.
Would you mind telling me what it was?
I see no reason to. It has nothing to do with this case. It certainly does not concern you.
Please, Theodora, Captain Underhill is only trying
to... I don't care. I see no reason to dredge up the past for his benefit. I will say this. Sometimes, when people are young, they do very foolish things. Things they later regret.
Hmm. Whatever this was, your sister knew about it?
Of course.
Who else?
No one else. I can promise you that. It was a secret she took with her to the grave.
Then you believe this really is a message from your sister?
How should I know? Dr. Schofield seems to think that this may be an authentic case of automatic writing. On the other hand, he has also suggested that Sybil may have developed a split personality.
And taken on the persona of your sister.
Well, that's what I thought at first, Waverly, but now I'm inclined to think otherwise.
Why?
Well, because in every case involving multiple personalities, when the identity shifts and the new personality takes over, everything changes, including the handwriting. In Sybil's case, her handwriting always remains the same.
Hmm, I see. Mrs. Langhorne, could you tell me what was meant by the soul you sent away has come back seeking revenge?
I have no idea. Of course, I've fired people before when I had to. I suppose you might call that sending someone away.
And the statement about the one who wears the string of pearls. What do you make of that?
I really can't say. Lots of people wear pearls.
Well, take a guess.
Now listen. If you are trying to get me to point the finger at Sybil simply because she wears a string of old pearls, I refuse to do it. Sybil could never be a murderess.
Oh? Why do you say that?
Because, frankly, she isn't capable of it. Sybil is an orphan. Her mother died during childbirth. Her father, my only son, died when she was 13 years old. Save your condolences. It happened a long time ago. I can only say it was ungracious of him to die and saddled me with the responsibility of raising a spoiled teenage girl who had already been set in her ways and was completely lacking in self-motivation.
Hmm. How old is Sybil now?
19.
Mrs. Langhorne, if you don't mind my saying so, you don't seem very concerned about what amounts to a death threat against you.
Mr. Underhill, when you get to be my age and someone tells you you are going to die, it doesn't come as a great surprise. Besides, I am quite used to death threats. I get them every time I visit Dr. Schofield for a checkup.
Ah, I see we have something else in common.
Thank you.
Waverly, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your accepting Mrs. Langhorne's invitation to stay the night. I know I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable having you there. I'm sure Mrs. Langhorne feels the same way.
Really? I think Mrs. Langhorne will feel more comfortable when I leave. She may be happy to have you, but somehow I don't expect to end up on her Christmas mailing list, if you know what I mean.
Waverly, that business about number 11 University Avenue, what do you suppose happened there?
I have a hunch, but I'd rather not say just yet. I'll know better after I do a little checking.
Well, I still can't get over the uncanny resemblance between Sybil and her Aunt Nina. It's almost as if she were the same person come back to life.
Oh, I wouldn't make too much of that.
Well, why not? You saw yourself. They look almost exactly alike.
You're forgetting, Doctor. I haven't met Miss Langhorne yet. However, assuming the resemblance is as pronounced as you say, it's not unusual for a child to look like a grandparent or a great aunt or an uncle. You've studied genetics. You know inherited traits tend to skip generations.
Well, yes, but...
Oh, we're here now. Why don't we discuss this later?
Hey, Doc. Back so soon?
Yes, Nick.
Got your overnight gear, I see.
That's right.
That's good. It's always good to be prepared.
Nick, would you mind seeing to our bags?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why don't you go on in? Greta's got some rooms made up for you upstairs.
Thank you, Nick.
Oh, hello. Excuse me. I was just leaving. Oh, you must be Dr. Schofield. You were the one who's taking care of Cousin Sybil.
That's right.
Doctor, if you ask me, she's not the one who's crazy. The only thing wrong with Cousin Sybil is she's lived too long under the same roof with that woman. God knows I do my best to put up with it when I visit, but how she stands it 24 hours a day, I'd go nuts, too.
You're not concerned, then, about the strange writings in her diary?
I don't know about that. I haven't read them, and I don't intend to. All I can say is a person has a right to say whatever they want to in their diary. It's supposed to be private.
Louise? You're still here?
Oh, yes, Aunt Theo. I'm just on my way out.
You've met Dr. Schofield. Doctor, this is my niece, Louise Symington. She and her husband live in Connecticut, in Hartford. She visits me occasionally.
Oh, never often enough, I'm afraid.
For some of us, it is.
I don't believe I've met this other gentleman.
This is Mr. Underhill. He's just visiting.
What was the name?
Underhill. Just visiting.
Oh, well, in that case, I hope you have a very nice visit. Both of you. Really, I must be going. It was nice to meet you. Goodbye, Aunt Theo.
Goodbye. Say hello to Roger.
I won't forget. I'll give him your love.
Saying hello will be sufficient. Goodbye.
It's open. Come on in.
Well, all moved in, I see. Have everything you need?
Yes, I think so. How is your room?
Oh, fine, fine. I expect dinner will be ready soon. Will you be coming down?
Yes, in a minute.
Hello, Dr. Schofield.
Hello, Sybil.
I heard you were staying the night. I'm glad.
Sybil, come in a minute. I want you to meet someone. Sybil, this is Captain Underhill. Captain, Miss Sybil Langhorne.
How do you do?
He's here because of me, isn't he? Something's going to happen, isn't it?
Now, Sybil.
I want you to stay, Doctor, but does he have to be here, too?
If my popularity continues to improve like this, I may have to run for public office.
What's he saying?
Never mind, Sybil. Now, just listen to me a minute.
Doctor, I know something is going to happen.
Why do you say that, Miss Langhorne?
Because I can feel it. It's like a pressure, like the feeling before a storm. It has something to do with what I wrote last night, doesn't it, Doctor?
Well, perhaps it would be best if we sat down and went over what was in the diary.
No, I don't want to know.
Then you mustn't excite yourself. I invited Captain Underhill here because I believe he can help us. The important thing for you to do is to relax and trust us.
I know you're right. I'll try, I promise.
Miss Langhorne, would you mind if I asked you a question?
No, what is it?
Could you describe for me exactly what happens when these nighttime episodes occur?
I don't know.
You must have some recollection.
That's just it. I don't. I didn't even realize I was doing it until my grandmother confronted me with what I had written. It happens while I'm asleep. In the morning, I don't remember a thing. I wake up feeling exhausted, as if I hadn't slept. Sometimes I have a stiff neck.
Hmm. Do you have any theories about what's causing this?
Perhaps they're right. Perhaps I am crazy. Grandmother's always said I live inside a dream world. On the other hand, if it is automatic writing and someone is trying to communicate through me, I know I shouldn't resist. I just wish it wasn't so frightening. I just wish this terrible feeling would go away.
You're back. How is she?
Better. She's resting in her room. She says she doesn't want any dinner, but I think I'll have them send something up anyway.
Dr. Schofield.
Oh, hello, Tishua. Is dinner ready? We were just coming down.
Dinner ready, but that ain't why I'm here. Mr. Doctor, you be careful. There's spirits in this house. There's spirits all around. I feel them at night coming up from the cellar. They bring war and grief. You be careful, old Tishua, right? They bring war and grief.
Mrs. Langhorn, it's 3 a.m. and you're still awake.
Well, what of it? A person my age doesn't need that much sleep. You're a nurse. You should know that.
Come now. We all need our rest. Let's put the book away. Here, I'll fluff your pillows and you get some rest.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Carol. You're always so good to me.
Oh, nonsense. I'm not always good to you. Here, shall I pull these curtains, or would you like them open?
No, the moonlight doesn't bother me.
All right. Now you know I'll be right next door. Just buzz if you need me. Good night, Mrs. Langhorn.
Thank you, dear. Good night. What is it? Carol, did you forget something? Carol, is that you? Sybil, what are you doing? What's that in your hand? Oh! It's the light! Quickly, the light! Well, the letter opener in her hand. Get it away!
Sybil, let me have it.
Yes, take it. I don't even know how I got here. What's happening to me? I must be losing my mind.
What's wrong here? I heard screams. Is everyone all right?
All right, Doctor. Everything is fine. Sybil was just walking in her sleep.
Theodora, you sure you're all right?
I am fine, Doctor. Please, take the child back to her room and stay with her until she calms down. Carol, you go along, too.
Mrs. Lang.
I am perfectly fine. Now go, all of you, and let me get some rest.
All right, but... Well, if you need me, you can reach me on the phone in Sybil's room.
Yes, yes, I know. Now, everyone, please, go. After that, I may never get to sleep. Now, where did Carol put my book?
Hello. I thought I heard a commotion.
Mr. Underhill, is it your habit to enter a woman's bedroom without knocking?
The door was open.
Then please leave and close it as you go.
What happened?
Never mind. I'm too tired to explain. Ask Dr. Schofield.
Mrs. Langhorn, I think it would be a big help if you told me what happened at number 11 University Avenue.
I told you before, I'm not going to say. Now, please, go away. It's late and I'm tired.
Your door locks from the inside?
Of course it does.
Then I suggest you lock it, at least for tonight.
Don't worry, I intend to. If only to prevent people like you from barging in.
Hmm. Good night, Mrs. Langhorn.
Good night. Insufferable man.
Good morning, Schofield. I must say, you don't look like you had a very good night's sleep.
Oh, I hardly slept at all.
I stopped by your room before I came down. You weren't there.
Well, that's because I spent the entire night in a vigil at Sybil's bedside. The only way I could get her to calm down was to promise to guard her while she slept.
Yes, Greta told me about what happened. What are you going to do about it?
What choice do I have? Whatever may be causing this, it's obvious that Sybil's presence in this house represents a clear and present danger to her grandmother. I'm going to have to suggest that she be moved elsewhere until somehow we can get to the root of her problem.
Why not hold off on that for a while, Doctor? I'm going to Boston today to do a little checking. I should be back by tomorrow. For now, let's leave things as they are.
Well, if you really think it's wise...
Yes, I think so. Also, do me a favor, if you will. See if you can arrange with Mrs. Langhorne to let me stay one more night when I get back. That may be difficult, but see what you can do.
Waverly, I'm glad you're back. How was Boston?
Fine. What's wrong, Alex? You look worried.
I've been anxious to talk to you. Something's happened.
Last night?
There's been another entry in Sybil's diary. Come inside, I'll show you. It's different this time, you'll see. It's still Sybil's handwriting, but it reads as if two people were talking, having a conversation. Here it is.
Well, go ahead. Read it to me.
Who are you? I feel I know you. I feel water seeping into my soul. I feel a current pulling me down. I see a black mirror.
That's all?
That's all that's written. What do you make of it?
Does Sybil know about this?
Not yet, but I'm thinking I'd better tell her.
No, don't do that. Let's wait. Where is Sybil now?
Taking a nap on the veranda. She said she was exhausted. She's also complaining again of a stiff neck.
Uh-huh. Doctor, I wonder, could you take me up and show me her room?
Well, yes. Well, certainly. We can go up right now if you like.
Lead the way.
This is her room, her bed. That's her desk over there. She normally keeps her diary in the top drawer.
Quite a lot of storage space, wouldn't you say?
Well, this is the servants' wing of the house. These closets are mainly for storage. Sybil prefers it on this side.
Doctor, you mentioned that when you first began treating Sybil, you spent an entire night at her bedside.
That's right. I was hoping to be able to observe her when she got up to write in her diary. I sat in this rocker right here.
And nothing happened?
Absolutely nothing. She slept peacefully through the night. Waverly, what are you doing?
Just checking under the bed. I must say I'm not surprised your experiment didn't succeed. Hello, what's this?
You found something?
Yes, it appears to be a handmade doll. Here, take a look.
My God, Waverly, it's Sybil.
It is?
Well, yes, of course. It looks just like her. It even has the real hair, Sybil's hair. Waverly, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
That depends. What are you thinking?
This doll, and the fact that Tishua comes from Jamaica. You know what that means.
What?
Voodoo.
Voodoo?
Yes, voodoo.
Voodoo.
She do. I mean she does. Waverly, be serious. I'm suggesting that Tishua... may be practicing voodoo.
Hmm. It's possible.
What are you doing?
Putting it back where I found it.
But you can't just ignore it. We've got to do something.
We will. In fact, we'll do it tonight. We're going to repeat the same experiment you tried, only this time we won't make the same mistake.
What mistake are you talking about?
In spending the night at her bedside, you violated one of the basic principles of scientific investigation. You inserted yourself into the experiment.
Well, I don't see how I could have done it any differently.
Wait until tonight. We'll try it again, and you'll see.
You rang, ma'am?
Greta, have you seen Dr. Schofield?
Yes, ma'am. The other gentleman returned from his trip about 15 minutes ago. I saw the two of them go upstairs. Shall I go
on? No, don't bother. What about Sybil? Where is she?
I believe taking a nap on the veranda. She said she was tired.
Is it, Greta? You look like you're seeing a ghost.
Behind you, ma'am. Out there on the lawn. It's Miss Sybil. She's doing it again. She's walking in her
sleep. Quickly, go follow her. See that she doesn't hurt herself.
Yes, ma'am.
But don't wake her up. That could be dangerous.
Look, she's heading straight for the pond.
Well, hurry. Go and stop her.
Psst. Greta, could we speak to you a moment?
Yes, Doctor. Is there anything wrong?
Nothing is wrong, but Captain Underhill and I would like to ask a favor.
Greta, we need your help. Dr. Schofield and I are planning to spend the night in Miss Langhorne's room, but we don't want anyone to know, especially Sybil. That's very important. If anyone asks, you're to say that Dr. Schofield and I were both very tired, and we decided to turn in early. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. But I don't understand. If you're going to spend the night in Miss Sybil's room, how can she not know?
Well, Doctor, comfortable?
Comfortable? How can I be comfortable? We're sitting in a closet no larger than a coffin. It's stuffy, it's cramped, it's pitch black. There's hardly any oxygen. I can't believe you expect us to spend the entire night this way.
I offered to do it alone.
Oh, never mind. I'm not complaining. Waverly?
Yes?
Are you convinced we're doing the right thing not to warn Sybil about the passage in her diary? After what happened this afternoon down at the pond...
I think it would do more harm than good.
But the diary said the water would be her release. She was headed straight for the pond, and the pond was like a black mirror.
First of all, Doctor, when a person sleepwalks and wades into a pond, 99 times out of 100 they'll wake up before drowning. Secondly, the diary does not actually say she's going to drown. It says the water will be her release. Do you propose that we warn her to stay away from water altogether... Not to drink it, not to wash with it, not to take a bath? Oh, no. It's far better that we keep a watchful eye on her than upset her with any dire predictions about her death.
I hope you're right. I'd hate for something tragic to happen. By the way, I completely forgot to ask you, what did you find out in Boston?
Nothing definite, but what I did learn seems to confirm what I suspected from the beginning. I found out that Theodora and her sister Nina both attended Wellesley College. I tried locating the brownstone at number 11 University Avenue, but it had been torn down years ago. However, I talked to a neighbor who remembered that a certain doctor once lived there, a physician who apparently did not have a very upstanding medical reputation.
Then you think that...
I think that one of the two sisters, most likely Theodora, had an illegal abortion. Her sister probably helped arrange it. To avoid a scandal, I expect they vowed never to tell anyone as long as they live.
Waverly, remember, the diary says, the soul you sent away has come back seeking revenge. You don't suppose that could mean the soul of an aborted child?
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. If anything, I would suspect that... Shh. Wait. Here she comes now. Keep your voice low.
Lovely, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, almost Victorian. The narrow waist, high bosom, the long tapering arms. She almost belongs to another era.
Look, Waverly, She's getting undressed. We can't watch.
Oh? Why not?
Because it wouldn't be right.
Oh, come now, Doctor. You must have seen thousands of women undressed.
Not under circumstances like this. I feel like a peeping Tom.
Very well. Don't watch if you don't want to. This is a scientific experiment, and I intend to make sure I don't miss a thing.
Are you still watching?
Of course.
Well, don't keep me in suspense. What's she doing?
She has taken off her dress. Now she's getting ready to put on her nightgown.
What is it?
I think I've just discovered a natural substitute for a pacemaker.
What time is it now? It feels like it should be morning.
I can't see my watch. I'd say it's around 2:30. Three o'clock. Pretty close.
Waverly, how long are we going to have to keep this up? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing happened last time either. We're simply giving ourselves a miserable night for no good reason.
Wait a minute. Look, she's moving. She's sitting up in bed.
Her eyes are open. Is she awake?
No, I don't think so. She's getting out of bed. She's going over to her desk. She's sitting down, taking out her diary.
My God, Waverly, you were right. She's doing it. What's she doing now?
Nothing. Not a thing. She's just sitting there.
That's all?
No. No, wait. Now she's closing her diary, putting it back in the drawer. Now she's getting up. She's going back to bed.
I don't understand.
Never mind. We've seen enough. We'll wait a few minutes and slip out.
Well, at least we've seen her do it.
Did we, Doctor?
Well, of course. We both saw her do it. She got out of bed, went to her desk, and took out her diary.
But she didn't write anything down.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't it? Doctor, do me a favor. See if you can convince Mrs. Langhorne to let me stay one more night. There is one more experiment I'd like to try.
I said to Roger he simply must take more time off so that we can arrange to come up more often.
Excuse me, Mrs. Langhorne, Mrs. Symington. Captain Underhill has asked me to invite everyone into the library to participate in a seance.
A what? Oh, a seance? Is that what he said? Oh, Aunt Theo, that sounds like fun.
Dr. Schofield, is your friend serious?
Yes, ma'am, I'm afraid so.
Now, see here. When I gave permission for Mr. Underhill to stay here another day and night, I did so with the expectation he was not going to waste his time and ours playing silly parlor games.
Oh, come on, Aunt Theo, it'll be fun.
Louise, I have no intention of doing any such foolish thing.
Oh, please, Mrs. Langhorne, Captain Underhill feels it's essential that everyone participate. Please, as a favor to me.
First of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming. It seems we have everyone here. Mrs. Langhorne, Mrs. Symington, Greta, Dr. Schofield, Sybil, Nurse Carol, Tishua, and Nick.
Present and accounted for.
Thank you, Nick. Before we begin, I think I should explain why I felt it would be useful to conduct a seance. As you know, strange things have been occurring in this house. I am referring to the disturbing entries in Sybil's diary, her bouts of sleepwalking, and a warning from Tishua to be on guard against evil spirits. Two nights ago, Dr. Schofield and I secretly hid ourselves in a closet in Sybil's room. It was our intention to watch her throughout the night surreptitiously, so that if and when she left her bed to go to her diary, we could observe her actions. As it happened, she did rise from her bed. Moving in a trance, we saw her go to her desk, sit down, and wait for a message to arrive from the spirit world. After witnessing this episode, I became convinced that Tishua's warning about evil spirits was correct.
That is why I decided to arrange this seance. In a minute, I will turn out the lights. I will ask all of you to hold hands, and we will do our best to summon forth the spirits of this house.
Oh, this is preposterous.
Dr. Schofield, I don't think I want to go through with this.
It's all right, Sybil. We're all here together. There's no need to be frightened.
All right. If you will all hold hands, I'm going to turn off the lights.
It's so dark. Couldn't we have one light?
Waverly, how about a candle?
Shh, quiet. We must concentrate. Spirits, we call upon you now. Spirits, can you hear us? Come forward and reveal yourselves.
Mr. Underhill, I can't feel them. He's coming.
Spirits, we summon you. Speak to us now.
Listen to me, Sybil. Pick up your pen. Now listen and write exactly what I tell you.
Louise, that's your voice.
Write what I say. When you are finished, you will go back to bed and forget. Do you understand, Sybil? You will forget everything.
That's enough. Lights, please. Thank you. What you were listening to just now is the beginning of a conversation that took place last night between Sybil and her cousin Louise Symington.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I wasn't even here last night.
True, but as the saying goes, a phone call is the next best thing to being there. I'm sure Dr. Schofield will understand when I say that what has been going on this whole time has been more telegraphic than telepathic.
I'm not sure I do understand.
The telephone, Doctor. Specifically, the one on Sybil's desk from which she received her messages from the spirit world.
Mr. Underhill, will you kindly explain what this is all about?
Yes, ma'am. You remember I said that Schofield and I spent the night in Miss Sybil's closet. We saw her leave her bed, sit at her desk, and open her diary. But she failed to write anything down. Dr. Schofield thought our experiment succeeded, but I was more interested in why it had failed. Would you like to tell them why, Greta?
Me? I don't know what you mean.
Of course you do. You were the only one who knew we were spending the night in the closet. Undoubtedly, as soon as you learned our intentions, your immediate desire was to slip into Sybil's room and remove the clock from her bedside.
The clock? But why the clock?
Because, Doctor, the clock was the trigger mechanism. Miss Sybil has been hypnotically programmed. Whenever the clock strikes three, it triggers her to leave her bed, go and sit at her desk, and await a call. Remove the clock, and she sleeps peacefully through the night, just as she did the night you spent sitting up by her bedside. In our case, there was no time for Greta to slip in and remove the clock. Therefore, she did the next best thing. She telephoned Louise Symington in Connecticut and warned her not to place the call. That was why there was no entry in the diary that night. It also explains the stiff necks she complained about, which came from cradling the phone while she took dictation. Last night, I hid in the closet one more time. Only this time, I took precautions to make certain no one was aware of what I was doing. As a result, I was able to intercept the call and make this recording.
Louise, why would you do such a thing?
She did it, Mrs. Langhorne, because she saw herself being edged out of her inheritance. She realized Sybil was going to inherit, and so she instigated a plan that would cause you to disown her. The offensive remarks she forced Sybil to write in her diary were supposed to do the trick. However, instead of kicking Sybil out, you called in Dr. Schofield. Failing at that, she tried again with a scheme that would make it look as though Sybil was intent upon murdering you. When Sybil showed up in your bedroom with a letter opener, that should have been the final straw. But even then, you refused to withdraw your support. That left her with only one alternative. She planned to murder Sybil. The passage in her diary, talking about the water being her release, was laying the groundwork for a fatal accident that would look like suicide.
Well, that explains the pond.
No, not really, Doctor. I still believe that was a coincidence. If you recall, Sybil was taking a nap on the back porch around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When she heard chimes from a downstairs clock, she got up as she normally would. She may have been headed for the pond, but I suspect she was actually searching for her desk.
But Waverly, what about number 11 University Avenue? Haven't you already established that only Mrs. Langhorne and her sister knew about that?
That was before I learned that before coming to work for Mrs. Langhorne, Greta had worked for Mrs. Langhorne's sister. In fact, that was how she came here. When Nina died, Mrs. Langhorne hired her.
Why, yes, that's right. I did.
I suspect before Nina died, she felt the need to unburden herself of a secret she had kept all her life. She may have told Greta, or Greta may have overheard her confess it to someone else. In either case, it gave them a very useful piece of information to make the messages from the spirit world appear more authentic.
Louise, where do you think you're going?
We're leaving. Come on, Greta. I'm sure we've both heard enough of this silly nonsense.
Waverly, you can't just let them go.
It's all right. Sergeant Blake and Officer Delaney are waiting outside to say hello. I apologize, Mrs. Langhorne, but this time it really was necessary to call in the police.
Not at all. I don't mind a bit.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll be going.
Captain Underhill, won't you at least stay for supper?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm sure I've overstayed my welcome as it is.
Wait a minute, Waverly. What about the doll?
The doll?
Yes, the one we found under Sybil's bed.
Oh. Oh, well, I'm sure Tishua can explain that.
It's the doctor! I put that doll there to protect Miss Sybil from the evil spirits!
You see, Alex, not all voodoo dolls are employed for harmful purposes. This one was intended to ward off the evil spirits. Unfortunately, it didn't work against scheming relatives.
You have been listening to Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater's presentation of The Automatic Murders. Tonight's program was produced, written, and directed by Stephen Tomasoni. Co-produced by David Ellsworth. Engineered by John Todd. Original music composed by Mark Birmingham. The actors in tonight's play, David Ellsworth as Captain Underhill, Wally O'Hara as Dr. Schofield, Carol McManus as Mrs. Langhorne and Tishua, Lee Olive as Louise Symington, Wendy Iwanski, Sybil, Melinda Gallant as Greta and Nina's ghost, Debbie Oney, Nurse Carol, and Jack Brady as Nick the Butler. This program was recorded at HT Recording Studio and is copyrighted by Stephen Thomas Oney. All rights, including rights for broadcast and reproduction, are reserved. This is Floyd Pratt wishing you a pleasant evening and inviting you to tune in again when the fog rolls in on another chapter of Cape Cod Radio Mystery Theater.